Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter. I'm just the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still. You know what? Whenever I come into this humble little building that's got a bad roof, I feel the love of God is here. I feel the Holy Spirit. And much of that is due to you, my brothers and sisters in Christ. Love and fellowship abounds within this little church of ours, doesn't it? Having however just offered you this greeting, I'm led to ask you an important question. What are you doing here? What are you doing here? And for that matter, what am I doing here? And the answer is simple. We are here by choice. We choose to be here. In fact, we choose to be here just about every Sunday morning when we are free to do so. And thus it is that chosen, the word chosen, is the subject matter I am led to bring before you. On my life's journey with Christianity, I've come across many who hold back on the realization of why they follow so closely this faith of ours. Many do think it's through their choice. But this morning, brothers and sisters, I want to lift your hearts. I need you to come to the realization that it's not simply about us. It's more God's will than our own. We come here regularly and offer up praise. We come here and stand together before God, our Father, who loves us so much that he sacrificed the life of his only beloved Son. Why did he do that? That we might live according to his will and serve him here on this earth. Allow me, please, to open them by reading from Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to read verses 3 through to 14. Now, this beautiful letter was addressed by the Apostle Paul to God's holy people in Ephesus, who he called the faithful in Christ Jesus. And this morning, I lovingly say to you that time has not faded the power of this letter. It speaks to us just as firmly today, we who are his people, of this little church here in Cheriton, and indeed to all believing churches from every denomination everywhere within this world. So let me read it for you. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we who were the first to put our hopes in Christ might be for the praise of his glory. Now I ask you to especially take into your hearts these next two verses. Paul's letter, let us remember, was addressed to a church, just as we are a church of ordinary people, people just like you and I. So then, verses 13 and 14, and take this in, brothers and sisters. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. Hallelujah. Oh, my dear brothers and sisters, what glorious scripture are those words? I'm only your brother Alan, but I beg of you, let your hearts be lifted in joy through which you've just heard. They really are verses of joy, and so they should be. Thus it is then that this morning it is my delight to remind us that we have been chosen. And that is why we are gathered here. We have sung hymns and songs of worship and praise. We have partaken and received in the blessing of the Lord's table. And we have prayed as a church, and also some of us have prayed individually. And all of these things we have done in the presence of the Holy Spirit. We are here gathered in the name of Jesus. Praise be to the Lord our God. And so it is then, that it might sound ridiculous if I do say to you once more, what are we doing here? But I should repeat that statement. What are we doing here? You see, there is no public law or governmental law that commands us to be here. We could still be tucked up in bed. Yes, even at this hour. We could be strolling along the leas. We could be out shopping, visiting friends or family. But you are here. And I'm here as well. We are here through our own will. We have chosen to be here because we are called to be here. Both you and I are here because we are just a mere few. Yes, just a mere few of the millions throughout the world who have been chosen. We're nothing special. There's quite a lot of us. We might think we are here by choice alone. We might think we became a Christian through our own choice. But did we really become a Christian simply through our own will? When I was still at primary school, it's a long time ago, folks, my mum and dad, come Sunday mornings, would dress me in my smartest clothes and send me off to Sunday school. Don't think I always necessarily wanted to go. But here I am today, fast approaching my 78th birthday. Should I then give credit to my parents? Of course I should. But then again, I ask myself, from where came their motivation to steer me on this particular pathway? Such thoughts move me. It is a very emotive thought. It was my parents who first set me forth on this journey, but it was not they who chose me. was not they who called me. That only comes through God. Was it the same for you, I wonder? Parental guidance at first, then later the personal and inner calling of God. Matthew 22, in its closing verses, explains to us that many are invited, but few are chosen. Take it in then that if we have been called, we stand among those few, not among those billions of unchosen. Isn't that something special to take in? Think about that. Take it in and lock the very thought deep into your heart. You and I have been chosen by God. Open your Bibles now, please, to John 15 and verse 16. These are the words of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. Fellowship, brothers and sisters in Christ, let our minds never, ever submit our God to the limitations of our own human intellect and strength. We are merely human. He is God. He is the Almighty. Hallelujah. And he gave us his Son. He gifted us, Jesus. Yes, we are, as that old hymn says, just as we are, without one plea, and I heard that this morning, without even one worthy plea, but love so much that our Father in heaven sacrificed Jesus that we might live and become his servants. When the time of his choosing came for us to be born and live on this earth, awaiting that very special calling. Our Lord's voice speaking to our hearts, come unto me. Jesus calling us, come unto me. So, brothers and sisters, we have been chosen. But why? Why have we been chosen? We've been chosen to serve, but what does that mean? Well, firstly, it means this: from the beginning of humankind, from all the billions of us that have passed through history, and those that live today, and from all the different races on earth, and from all the different cultures, and from all the different religions, and from all variations again of intellect and physical strength, God has chosen you and I to serve him. To serve him through his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, who he sent down to walk among us, and who we, humankind, to our shame, had him crucified on that terrible cross. He died, hanging up there, suffering for us, you and I. And the we of that time, the then humankind at that time, mocked him. Oh, what shame. Oh, what shame indeed. But you, my dear friends, know this story as well as I. Death could not contain him, could it? Hallelujah again. Amen. And he lives. Hallelujah again. Hallelujah. He lives, he lives, he lives within our hearts. And he loves us. He loves you. And he loves me. way beyond our own simple understanding of exactly what kind of love his love must truly be. But why has he chosen me? Who am I? Why has he chosen you? What have you done that such a blessing has been bestowed upon us? But, and think about this also, it's not an easy blessing, is it? This being called thing. It's a tough blessing. It can be a very tough blessing indeed. I cannot make judgment of you, brothers and sisters, and you should not make judgment of me. But we can and should all make individual judgments of ourselves. As for me, and as already mentioned, approaching my 78th year, I think that overall I have underachieved. And yet here I am within this humble little church, standing up here preaching to you from the Word of God. And I give thanks to him because I have stumbled and fallen so often on this journey. But time and time again, he has picked me up and returned me with grace and mercy to that pathway of light and righteousness. And I may stumble again. I don't know. And this might sound strange for me to say, but I sometimes think that all churches everywhere are imperfect. They have to be, because surely they are filled with imperfect people like me. I'm not perfect, and it's not nice for me to say this, but nor are you. Excuse me for that. But our sins were wiped clean at Calvary. Hallelujah again. Indeed, if we study our Bibles in its fullness, you will discover that only Jesus, God's Son, could claim absolute perfection. As for the rest of us, the mighty, the great, and the ordinary, just like us, we live through life making mistakes and getting things wrong in so many ways, and just about always being in need of more and more a repenting heart. But let us fear not. We who have been called have a Redeemer. Yes, you know this. We're all aware that there really is a Redeemer. Jesus, God's own Son, precious Lamb of God, Messiah, Holy One. I borrowed those words from Songs of Fellowship. Why not join me now in singing the little chorus that follows those words? Can you put it up for me? Thank you, O my Father, for giving us your Son and leaving your Spirit till the work on earth is done. Would you sing that with me? Thank you, O my Father, for giving us your Son and leaving your Spirit till the work on earth is done. Once more. Thank you, O my Father, for giving us your Son and leaving your Spirit till the work on earth is done. Oh, thank you. What lovely singers I have out there. The big question, of course, is if we are chosen, what are we chosen for? What is expected of us? We can't all become the next Livingston or Spurgeon or Wesley, but we can serve in so many different ways. And I want to tell you this, together as this little church, we have become a kind of team, a really good team, working together, called by God to be his people called to serve and called to love each other just as He, God, loves us. And giving what we can of ourselves as being His church in this street, in this town, in this which is His world. Let me just give mention to collections. It is important that we do give what we can afford, but in reality, in truth, our God requires much, much more from us than mere finance. It's not really about our money, nor even our houses or our expensive motor cars, nor is it about any other precious thing that we might claim as being ours. God wants so much more. He wants all of us to fully surrender to His will, each of us, individually, to allow Him the fullness of our heart and our mind and our souls. He wants our whole, our intellect and our physical strength to be surrendered lovingly and willingly to Him, that He might use all or any one of us according to His will and at His time. Are you ready for that? Do you really understand, though, the truth that God really does know each one of us better than we know ourselves? He really does, you know. And here's a saying that stretches back in this church a long way to Pastor Gene Young, who used to preach here. God doesn't just call the qualified. He qualifies those that He calls. That gives us all a great opportunity, doesn't it? Think about that. He can and will, if He desires, qualify all or any of us according to His will. All or any one of us can be qualified accordingly to do absolutely anything if it is the will of God. Now, I personally am not much good at so many things. I've got to confess that. But if it ever comes God's will, and it could become God's will, I can become His tool and carry out His will accordingly. But it's not just about me, it's about you lot as well. So can you. Every one of you. So then, here we go again. We've been chosen. But the question is, are we really fully ready to obey His call? If I were to ask you, what is it you do for a living? You would more than likely reply by telling me of what occupation is or was yours before you got retired, like me. And that very question is not easy to answer. Because if I was to say to you something different, sorry, I would say that is easy to answer, but if I was to say to you, what do you live for? There might be a moment of hesitation. What do you live for? Because it's not a question we usually ask. It's a question that causes us to ponder over its significance. And it is good that we might ponder over it. What do we live for? So let me be bothersome and look at you all face to face. What are we living for? Some live for money. Some want fame. Some of us might seek approval, but how about answering like this? I want to live the rest of my life that I might serve my Redeemer's will. I want to serve the God who loves me so much that He sacrificed His so loved and only begotten Son, filling His crucified body with all my sins and leaving me cleansed of all guilt. Oh Lord, I do want to surrender to Your will, but in all honesty, it's going to be a challenge, isn't it? It's such a challenge, not just for me, but for all of us. Let's just pause for a moment and absorb that thought, because I know the humanness that is myself, and you know the humanness of yourselves. We can all talk good, about the challenge of coming closer in body, mind and soul are difficult. You know, the Christian we want to be is a very hard task for all of us. And thus it is, my dearest brothers and sisters, that we need to stand together, pulling each other out when we fall into that sinking sand, standing together on that solid rock and doing for and to each other that which is right in God's name. Being a family, brothers and sisters who are truly part of the same family, God's chosen family, called by him to serve him as one and serving him together as this, his little church in Sheraton. So now the time has come, my brothers and sisters, whereby we need to step forward. We are a Pentecostal church, and as it is then that we, as a church, have an understanding of the Holy Spirit. He dwells within us. And I believe that the vast majority among those of us who worship regularly within this gathering has truthfully received the calling that I have been speaking of. So now, whether or not we realize or fully understand it, the time is fast coming for all Christians everywhere to stand firm, and as soldiers of Christ, prepare ourselves to fight the good fight, to stand our ground in this our land, a land that is falling into the trap and drifting morally backward, a land moving more and more into the dominating belief that is secularism. Our churches are no longer full. And our governments and media, in all their various forms, are calling us to accept lifestyles that go against the teachings of the Holy Bible. Brothers and sisters, we really must stand firm. We might be few, but we're on the victor's side. Yeah. I lately have been hearing a voice, a quiet and holy voice, summoning us to individually move forward spiritually from where each of us are at this moment in time to where God wants us to be at this moment in time. Have we achieved that yet? I don't know. He wants us to move forward. And it is a challenge we need face together, as well as individually, moving forward for God according to his will, to where he wants us to be. But this I do know, the Holy Spirit does dwell in all of us. And it is for us in humbleness to surrender ourselves that he might, through us, be free to carry out his will from within us. He requires us to allow him access to our wholeness, that he might, through us, do things that we cannot do. And it shall not be to our glory, but to his glory. For to God only be the glory. Yes. So I just want to finish with these words. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter, and we are just clay. Mold us, Lord, and make us after thy will, while we're waiting, yielding, and still. Amen. Amen.
Let's rise.